If the walls have to break, if the floorboards give way, you can do whatever you have to. Every space, every room is a place just for you. You can stay forever if you want to. This house is not a home until your glory rushes in. Fill me up until you see yourself. Good morning, good morning, good morning. How are you, C3 stand? Good? Thanks, Eve. We want to invite you to take your seats. We're going to get into the word this morning. How crazy was it this morning? But it was a good crazy. I was actually looking forward to preaching without a microphone. Then the lights came on, I was like, back to biblical times, but now we're back on the mic. But that's okay. Not here. Who's celebrating a birthday this month? Anyone? No one. Just Deanna. Where's Deanna? Ah, Mark as well. What date? 28th. Sienna as well. She's just ducked out. She'll be back in 5 minutes. But happy birthday to everyone who's celebrating a birthday this October. But not only that, Deanna's getting her license this week. Not this week, in a few weeks. Okay, this week. She did it amazing. Neil's been teaching her. I started teaching her, but I don't know any of the rules. No. Well, the last time I got my license 35 years ago, right? And then I just showed her how to get into a car and, you know, do all those little bits. And then when Neil was showing her, it's like, really? Is that the rule? But these days, you just drive, right? You just drive. Make sure you follow the rules, people. Okay? You follow the rules. But yeah, just keep Deanna in your prayers this week as she has her license. She's an amazing... She's a better driver than me. You need to teach me how to drive.
Cool. Today we're continuing week two. So there's 4 weeks of reshape, redefine, and reimagine. I've got week two. And we're going to talk about how we live as followers of Jesus. But before I do, I just want to... This week has been a really, 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 really tough week for me preparing this message. It's probably the hardest message. I was talking to Neil at the front. It's the hardest message I've ever prepared. I had the message like down-packed almost a week ago. But during the week, something just wasn't right. You ever feel that? Something's just not right. And about 3 days ago, no, 2 days ago, message all done, ready to go. Because we have this studio in our backyard that we go in there and we prepare messages and we pray, have music, and just time alone with God. And about 3 days ago, I found myself blank. Words are all there, but I was blank. Put on some music, nothing was going on. And I ended up on the floor. Ever end up on the floor with your head down? Surrendering? Like I'm talking about surrendering. Not just, oh, just, Lord, I'm struggling, lift me up. But surrendering. And the Lord just said 2 words. Get up. That was it. I got up. And I want to encourage you guys, before we even get into the word, that surrendering to God when you have, when you feel like you've got nothing, when you're empty, even though the page, the words are on the page, but you still feel empty. And then I realized, it's not about me. You know what I mean? Like we've heard people say this a lot of times on stage, but it's not. It's about Jesus. It's His word. It's not yours. What are you struggling for? What are you struggling for? It's His word. He gave you the word a week ago. What are you struggling for? He just said, get up. And I was like, I better get up. And I got up. And I just gave praise to God. I said, thank you, Jesus, for the word. Thank you that I can come to you. And I just before that, I actually thought, I might just message Lisa. I'm going to be vulnerable here and say, can't do it this Sunday. That's the truth. The Lord said, get up. Put your big boy pants on. So I hope that the word today is from God. If you're not happy with it, too bad. Guess what? Too bad. It ain't my words. But today we're going to talk about how do we live as followers of Jesus? How do we live and transform our lives into what Jesus wants us to be? Recently, I started a new job. About 3 weeks, coming up to 4 weeks. I've been in the photography industry for 18 years. And I was at a job previously for 12 years, managing staff, up to 14 staff for 12 years. And about 2 years ago, sorry if I'm repeating this, so 2 years ago, God said, I'm transforming. And 2 years to the month, which was July, God transformed me. Got me a new job. So I went from managing people 5 days a week, but it's never 5 days a week, is it, when you're managing? It's 7 days, isn't it? And you take work home, and you take people's problems home. And the Lord said, I'm transforming you. So the guy who hired me was actually came and watched me preach. I didn't even know. And now I started a new job at a different company. And the guy who's my boss, I trained him 18 years ago. Now he's my boss. Crazy, right? So I started a new job doing 4 days, same thing, but just full-time. Permanent part-time. And then working 1 day in the church. And I found it so easy, but so hard. I had to take advice, teachings from people who have been doing this for 6 months to a year. And I've been doing it for 18 years. And these people are like 18, 19, and I'm 50. And they're showing me how to do things because I'm in a new place, I'm in a new environment. And I'm getting a little prideful, as you do. Lord, take it away. But it happens. It happens to the best of us, right? So at first it was hard. I was told to do a job that takes 6 to 8 hours when I can normally do it in 2 hours. And people were asking me, like, how's your job? I'm like, it's actually easy. But it's hard for me because I have to slow down. And I'm used to working efficiently, fast, get the job done. Let's get out of here. It's a production line. But now I've got a new job where I have to slow down. I have to follow new rules. I have to follow, not orders, but management from someone that I used to manage and take down information from people who have hardly been in the industry. But like a new job, there's a mix of excitement and pressure. You want to do well, but everything's new. New systems, new routines, new ways of doing things, and now people managing me, not me managing them. I had to be reshaped. Speaking of reshape, when I had an interview with the actual owners, one of the questions was, she asked me, you've been doing this for a long time. Can you learn new processes? We're worried that you've got all the experience, you've got everything, but can you learn new processes? Because you've been stuck in the way where at this other company, can you learn our process? And obviously I'm going, yeah. But at first I thought, why do they do it like this? Because I'm just used to my own processes, my own systems, my own law, my own rules. So I was tempted to do things my own way, the way I've always done. But as I slow down, I begin to see the purpose behind the systems. Every step, every rule wasn't to make life harder, but to make things run smoother. So once I understood that, once I understood the why, it actually made me do my job better, slow down. God wanted me to slow down. And I know that because I felt it. Because God always speaks. That's when it hit me. This is what Jesus meant in Matthew 5:7. We're going to speak from Matthew 5 today. Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have come to abolish them. I haven't come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. Jesus didn't come to throw out what God had already built. He came to show us the heart behind it. Just like I didn't come to tear up the book from this new company, I came to learn, to be reshaped. And once I stood that, I did things differently. Let's pray for this message. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for who you are, Lord God. Lord God, every word that I speak this morning, may it be from you. We pray a blessing over our church, Lord God. Every person that's walked through these doors, Lord God, may you bless them. Every person that is attached to someone in the building this morning, Lord, may you bless them. We thank you, Lord God, for your word. Amen. We're speaking about the Sermon on the Mount. Who knows about that? I want you to picture something with me. You can close your eyes or you can have your eyes open. But I love this part of the Bible. You know why? Because it's Jesus speaking. So picture this with me. Early morning in Galilee. Crowds are gathering from every direction. Small towns, villages, even across the Jordan. They've come to see Jesus, the carpenter who heals the sick and teaches with power. Men, women, children, all walking miles to hear him. What's the spot like? A little mountaintop, like an amphitheater, perfect for his voice to carry. No microphone, no stage, just Jesus, the Son of God, speaking in the open air. Then he begins to speak. He doesn't start with rules. He starts with blessings. The disciples are beside him. Some people nod. Some are confused. Others are deeply moved. It must have felt like the safest, holiest place on earth. What a time to be alive. That's our Jesus. People coming from all walks of life come to hear a man speak. I bet most of them are coming, I want to go see this one who heals. I've got something wrong with me. I want to go get healed. I want to hear him speak. Imagine being there. Seeing Jesus. Matthew 5 gives us the heart of Jesus' teaching. You don't have to close your eyes anymore, unless you want to. It's where he calls us beyond religion and reputation and into relationship. Not religion, not reputation, but into relationship. He says in verse 17, I have not come to abolish the law, but to fulfill it. But that's when everything changes. Jesus didn't come to lower the standard. He came to live it perfectly and invite us into it. Today we're going to talk about three things. How Jesus offers a path forward. How we respond daily. And how we see our wrongs and rights. The person that hurt me. I'm going to love the person that swore at me. I'm going to love the person that judged me. I'm going to love the person that I don't see eye to eye with. I'm going to love the person that's not the same color as me. I'm going to love the person that doesn't speak the same language as me. How many of us can actually sit here today or stand here today and say, I love my enemies as much as I love my neighbor? It's tough, right? Jesus moves us from rules to relationship. From duty to desire. From religion to transformation. He can transform any single one of us here this morning. He did it for me. He can do it for you too. And there are people here today that have been transformed. Religion says, be good enough and maybe you'll reach God. Jesus says, walk with me. I've already made the climb. Walk with me. I've already made the climb. I've already sacrificed. I've already been beaten. I've already shed the blood. Just walk with me. Forget the rules, but walk with me. Forget the do's and don'ts, but just walk with me. Number two is, how do we respond every day? Following Jesus is not just a Sunday thing. It's an everyday thing. Every morning we asked, will I do it my way or will I do it his way? I know which way I tend to want to sometimes do it. But I know the only answer to forward is his way. Choosing forgiveness over offense. When someone hurts you, forgive, even if they don't apologize. Whew, big one, right? Choosing humility over pride. When praised, give credit where it's due. Stay grounded. Choosing purity over compromise. When pressured, hold your boundaries. Honor God first. Choosing love even when it costs you. When someone drains you, keep showing up. Keep loving anyway. It's not about perfection. It's about direction. Jesus says in verse 48, be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect. Perfect meaning mature, complete, not flawless. He's saying, grow into the love I've shown you. So when your patience is tested and someone gets under your skin, ask, how would Jesus respond right now? That's real discipleship. And number three is, how do we see our wrongs and rights? In Jesus' time, People were obsessed with being right. Right rules, right tribe, right image, right everything. Right, right, right. But Jesus flips it in verse 20. He says, unless your righteousness surpasses that of the Pharisees, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven. He's not saying be more right. He's saying be more real. Be more real. Don't be something you're not. Be real. Be who He's made you to be. It's not about how we measure our rightness, but how we handle our wrongs. When we sin, do we hide or repent? Big one. When others fall, do we judge or do we restore? Jesus calls us to heart-level faith. He said, if anyone slaps you on the right cheek, turn to them the other also. That's not weakness. It's strength under control. It says, it's saying, I don't need to win to be right. Going back to my job, the prideful part. The first week I was at school, but the second week I was in the office for one day. How I love being in the office. I'm not a computer person. I'm not an office person. I can't sit in front of a computer for an hour. I get a bit irritable. Who's like that? Just me? Okay, good. So I have to get up and move. I'm just one of those people. I have to move. And one day I was in the office, and then lunchtime came. Thank you, Jesus, for lunchtime. And in this new job, it's not like the old one. There's just this grass area at the front. I was like, all right, I'm gonna have some lunch. Don't know anybody really, because all the people that I got to know, they're all at schools. And I was in the offices one day, and I go sit on the grass by myself. And some of these other guys that work in the office came to the grass area as well. Girls and guys, around about 17, 18, 19 years old. 50. And I'm sitting there having lunch. And they weren't really engaging, but then I'm like, you know, I need to say something. So I was talking, and then I thought to myself, man, I wasn't feeling the vibe. Because they were talking about stuff that, you know. And then I kind of like backed off. I just let them be. Old man. And then I started to question where I was. Man, what am I doing on this grass, Lord? I'm 50. What am I doing at this job? What have you done? What have you done? Like, I still got 25 minutes to go for lunch, and I've got nowhere to hide. Before, when I was managing, I had an office, I had a photography area. If something was wrong, you just go hide, right? I had nowhere to hide. I couldn't hide behind the bushes. A bit creepy, yeah. I couldn't go to my office. I didn't have one. I couldn't go to the photography area. It wasn't my area. And I had nowhere to hide. And I started questioning the last 2 years about why you brought me here. And I'm like, man, these people don't even want to talk to me. You know, they do, but it was just what I was going through in my head. But God humbled me that day. Fast forward a little bit. I'll come back to it. This Friday I met up with... So you guys know I work for the church now on Fridays, right? So I work Monday to Friday for the new company. Capture Photography, if any of you know. And then Fridays, I'm in the office. Did I say that? No? You know what I'm saying. There's always people in the front talking. Always. It's never the second row, third. It's always the one in the front. Anyway, Monday to Thursday, and then Friday for the church. And I got a message about a week ago from I won't even call him a friend, someone I went to school with 35 years ago, right? Bit of a bully. Got a message from him. Crazy. He wanted to meet up on a Friday. So I met up with him here on Friday. We sat down for about an hour talking. Drug addict. Hasn't worked in 25 years. Bit of a bully at school. And I shared a memory with him. I said, I won't say his name. I said, about 35 years ago, when I was maybe 30. Anyway, I'm bad with math. I was having a driver's test in Kelmscott. And I'm at the traffic lights. And I look to my right, and it's you, the guy. And laughing at me, doing my test. And I passed. But he was that kind of person that would just bully people. And he goes to me, that's an amazing memory. He starts laughing and he goes, I got a memory of you, Elton. We were in year 9 and we're in the library. You had to wait, you know, to line up for the library. And he'd go around and give people dead legs and punch them. And he came up to me and gave me a dead leg and punched me. But you punched me back. And I said, you know why? Because as much as you were angry, I was an angry man too. I got you back. We just shared this memory together, these memories together. I haven't seen him in all that time. And then God just began to say, look what I'm doing. You're complaining about being on the grass, prideful. No one wants to talk to you. But I'm opening doors. And I forgot to tell you guys, but he wants to help at a table. He wants to come help at a table. Hasn't worked in 25 years. He goes, I'm an addict. Right now, I'm high. I had a pipe this morning. But I want to help out. And the only day he could meet, which was weird, isn't it? Got no job. How come his only day is Friday? I'm going to ring this brother up. But on a Friday, I can only meet on a Friday. You get where I'm going with this? Everyone's lost it. Like, what is he talking about? But God reminded me, I'm opening doors. It's not about rules, the rules that you were used to. It's about relationship. It's not about you. It's about me. It's not about pride. It's not about pride. I've suffered with pride most of my life. And there may be people here today that suffer with pride. It's an ugly thing, isn't it? It's a me thing. It's a me thing. It's about me. What's wrong with me? Why are you doing that to me? This is how I'm feeling. Why is it always about me? Why is all bad things always happen to me? Jesus says, get up. Jesus was holy, but couldn't please everyone. Even Jesus, perfect and sinless, couldn't please everyone. He was misunderstood, rejected, criticized, spat at, crucified. Come on. They accused him of breaking the law when he was actually fulfilling it. So if obeying God costs you people's approval, you're in good company. Jesus said, blessed are you when people insult you because of me. I spoke to this guy on Friday about Jesus. Doesn't believe. But you still speak it. Dropping F-bombs and all sorts of words. It's okay. It's not about me. It's not about me. Oh man, that's a bad word. Oh, come on. You haven't heard bad words before? It's about Jesus. Still going to get back to him about this Friday thing. But anyway, can I get the band up, please? Matthew 5, 17, 48 isn't about perfection. It's about direction. What direction is he taking you on? It's not about being flawless, but being faithful. Jesus offers a new way, a path of transformation, not just behavior. He calls us to respond daily, and you might respond this morning with quiet obedience, not performance. He reshapes how we see right and wrong through love and mercy. And here's a big one, forgiveness. Forgiving others who have hurt me. Forgiving others who have insulted me. forgiving others who haven't given me a chance. Forgiveness. And he reminds us, holiness might not make us popular, but it makes us whole. He says, follow me. I fulfill the law, and I'll fulfill your heart. So ask yourself, where have I been trying to perform for God instead of walking with him? Where have I been trying to be right instead of being real? Is there someone I need to forgive, or a habit I need to surrender to? Is there someone I need to forgive who has hurt me? Or is there a habit I need to surrender? Is there something that's taking too much of my time, clogging up my brain, hurting me, hurting others, holding me back? Making me feel good, but it's like a drug addict. It makes you feel good for the day. Maybe it's pride. It's a big one for me. Working on it. Jesus is working on it. Get up. Maybe comparison. Maybe you want to be like the person next to you. Well, I shouldn't say, but you know. Maybe exhaustion. But right now, hear Jesus saying, come, walk with me. I love that. Walk with me. I've already made the climb. You don't have to climb. He's not asking for perfection. He's inviting you into direction. Not to prove yourself, but to let him transform your heart. To take a moment and ask, Lord, what are you calling me to lay down? It's not about rules, the do's and don'ts, what you can do and what you can't do as a Christian. Can't do this, can't do that. Why am I doing this? Why is that person doing that? But it's about relationship. If you don't have relationship, then what's the point? You're just going to be following rules your whole life, Elton. Don't do this. Can't hang out with a druggie in a church. You've never done that stuff. Can't go to a pub. The devil's in the pub. Do you know what I'm saying? It's about relationship. It's about love. Loving your enemies as much as you love your neighbor, as much as the person that you get along with, but love your enemy as well. Jesus calls us into relationship, not rules. While we bow our heads this morning, if you are struggling this morning with something, doesn't matter what it is, it could be pride. It could be a habit that you want to get rid of. It could even be, it's hard to love thy enemy. I want to invite you up the front this morning. Not to embarrass you. But to come and give it all to God. He says, get up. I struggled with that 3 days ago. But I got Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. It might even be that you want to throw out the rule book and be reshaped into having a relationship with Him instead of a rule book. What I can and can't do. You might want to come and stand in the gap for somebody who's struggling. Thank you, Father. You are a good God.